station will be a Metra Express train and will not stop.
Welcome to Voices Carry Live. My name is Randy Scott. You have found Voices Carry Live. We're broadcasting live from the beautiful village of Cary, Illinois. This is your megaphone and this is your microphone. It's an independent venture from myself to bridge the gap between social media and Facebook. Beautiful Monday. We got some rain. I can see the April showers coming soon with the May flowers. I got the audio figured out. I can hear it in my ears. That's why I wear my headphones to monitor the output. But I was monitoring the wrong output, so I apologize for that, and I'll trim it down afterwards. Last week, we were watching something called the discussion on fiscal year 26 through 2030 capital improvements program. It's pretty much like a budget workshop for the Village of Cary. And we're gonna watch the rest of that. There's about a half hour left to it, and feel free. We have the phone and text lines open, and if you want to just make a comment quick, you can do text or chat. Thank you for the chat for notifying me of the audio. And then also, what I was going through in the beginning was we have a lot of moving pieces right now with I call it like a tactical lineup to where everything's going to roll out at once. We have like 1,000 apartments on the books to be essentially slingshot into construction. So that's where my attention is. My attention is also on the village code. This is over 800 pages of village code to where there's pretty much something in there for everybody. Stuff in there can be, it's kind of like a, there's something in there to where you can literally go down every road and see every house has something going on with it, according to this. And it's a direct result. It threatens your property rights. It threatens your property rights, even if you're a business owner or a commercial business owner. And many other successful villages, this is not normal. Many other villages have 100 pages and it's done in house. This was done out of house by a service out of City Chicago, and this it needs to be gone through, because the village a village or a city is merely a corporation. It's literally a corporation in the eyes of the state, and there's no it's our job to, we're seeing this at a federal level. It's our job to, first of all, thank our village officials for what they do for us, but then also turn over logs, ask questions, knock on doors. And that's essentially what I'm doing here, is I don't want my kids and my family and their kids and your family to deal with this when it's left unchecked. And we've seen this in multiple different areas. And it's not just specific to Cary. It's challenges in all different municipalities to where there's really, if it's left unchecked, there's really no reason for them to scale back themselves. And that's what I'm doing here, is to give them some love and to start asking tough questions and get essentially just be present. And that's, I want to bring it to this platform to where you can be involved with your community as well. And that's why I have the text in, and just trying to do, I have this thing to where if I see a need, I need to do something. And I have my parents and my firefighting background to thank for that. It's like, if you see somebody trying to pick something up on a fire scene and it's heavy, you go and help them. You don't need to be asked to do it. And I wanted to play a small clip of you literally before, when I was starting the program to get ready, I was trying to find where I left off on the budget workshop that we were watching last week, and listening to these things is important, I think, because you hear some things come up, and What they're going to be speaking about here is the downtown. So they tore down the metro station and they built a new one across the railroad tracks from it. And first of all, if you're joining us, this program is made for folks that live in Cary. If you don't live in Cary and you see what we're doing, start this for your own. You can start it on your cell phone. And it's just about bringing people together to where we start talking with our neighbors again and becoming strong to where if our, you know, village is ever tested or if our neighbors ever tested to where we have to band together, we're not scrambling to build that relation, those relationships up. So this part here, I just literally went right to it and I was listening and I heard a buzzword that got my attention. And this is the metro lot, old metro station got torn down and then the new one was built. And now they have this vacant land to where they want to put in like a seating area, which is great, outdoor seating. But then also right on the like top of that, if you look on your screen, that red top building is it's owned by the Village of Cary and they want to lease it out. They found somebody to take a lease and the lease is $500 a month and it's going to somebody that sells liquor. So now if there's the tracks right across the street from it, so now that business owner is now competing with the Village of Cary for liquor sales, and that doesn't really align with how I think things should operate. I think the invisible hand is the invisible hand of like commerce with gentle like guiding. You shouldn't be so deep into the weeds of sculpting your town to where you're now competing with businesses. You're now competing with you're creating documents here that could threaten or does threaten property rights of individuals and businesses to where things that might have never been enforced in the past are now they can be activated and now enforced just to achieve a goal. That's like an us versus them mentality. And I firmly believe that municipality, the village, should be a village. It should be police, public works, fire, and then everything else is like a just get out of the way. And there's a lot of money that we've broken down in the past, and there's still more to come of just facilitating all this. And it's really about time and resources. Like when you come into your job at the Village of Cary, you walk in and you can either be spending that time on potholes or stuff that directly affects you and the street in front of your house, or you could be tied up in paperwork and grant writing and all this other stuff to try to facilitate competing with a business in the downtown area, or facilitate like this document. This is the Illinois EPA Protection Agency loan program. This was crafted by somebody that could have been paying attention to your street. And this was all for getting a water tower off of 31 so that we could have more people come to the park that's off of Ackman. They want to make that into like a Torah thing to where they were talking about swim up movie nights, and which sounds great, but now they want to do like food trucks and all this other stuff, and then right across from it, there's 400 apartments that are on the books that's getting moved forward. They still have meetings for it, but they have apartments. They have, and it's all tactically coordinated, and it's impressive to say the least, but it's not impressive when it affects you at home. And that's why I'm here, because like my personal experiences with opening a business in town, I saw some things that were like, wow, this needs to get addressed for the sake of my kids getting older, and their kids moving home and your family, because what we went through was just I call it like the welcoming party of a new business. There was, I remember standing on a ladder in the ice cream shop and looking down at my Meredith. I was doing something. I was working. She was working on a machine, and I take a picture for a memory. And literally, that memory is now associated with 2 minutes after that picture was taken. Code enforcement comes in for the village and says, I got paper here. Can you come out with me? I want to show you something. He didn't see me yet, and I was just observing. He did not want me to get involved, and I was just observing at what was going on. And I saw, literally, he's driving something that looks like an unmarked police car. He brings my wife out and asks her to move an A-frame sign, a sandwich board sign, 2 inches closer to the building. And I'm all for regulation. I think regulation makes things safer. Like you see it with like fire code, with making sure that things stay safe and don't catch on fire in your home. Even signage regulation. Some of it it makes sense. But what gets me is just how it was performed. Like that was like very shortly after we had been opened, and there was other things that got their attention from me because they were trying to give us. They essentially tried to sue us for our logo, and I told them what they could do because we had already crafted it. It was trademarked. It was everything, and they're like, "No, we can sue you, and you can't have it." Nobody else has a water pump on their logo, and I don't like making the show about me, but there's a purpose to it. I very seldomly talk about this. But he has her move it 2 inches closer to the building. So now, I this is how I think. I'm not in the picture. My wife takes this venture on herself. She doesn't have some of the background that I have to be able to call this stuff out. So now she just opens up a business in town. Has somebody that is driving something that looks like an unmarked police car and tells her to move something 2 inches closer to the building, literally 2 inches closer to the building. That's a power play. That's a strong arm in my eyes. And that got my attention. That's one of three things that made me want to run for mayor. That happened very early on, to where I'm like, okay, if this is what I'm seeing, it kind of gives me an insight of what's going on up the street. And I'm like, I can't believe that this is, like, if she takes it on herself, she opens a business by herself, I'm not in the picture. That sets the tone for the rest of her time there of, like, them coming in saying, like, we see you, this is how it's going to be, this is the power structure. And they've never been called out on it. And I think for the sake of our families and our property rights and our businesses that we have in town, and the more to come in the future, we need to address it. And that's what we're doing here. So this, to kind of piggyback off of that, this part of this right here, the program, and this is early on in the presentation, but like I said, I just went to it and I heard something. I wanted to share it with you. This is about the Metro Lot, about how they have competing alcohol sales. So now the village is into leasing land for alcohol sales, which is mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling to me. It's kind of it started with I use this example like mini golf. There used to be mini golf places all around. There used to be Crystal Lake, McHenry, Algonquin, a whole bunch of mini golf places. Then, you know, the economy kind of started to dwindle. But then also, like, now you have Crystal Lake Park District, which operates a mini golf place in Lippold. So now you have a government entity in something that should be a private venture. So now that's taking something off the tables for a private venture. It's a slippery slope when you start to having to compete with a government entity, which is essentially a corporation within itself, which we will get into later. Let me show you this.
For the downtown area, downtown improvements, this year the village will be beginning work on the community plaza, enhancements for where the old depot station was located. For the public's knowledge, the village did receive approximately $470,000 grant from the RTA through the CMAC program, and also a private donation to assist with the redevelopment or the enhancement of that area.
That is what got my attention, was the private donation. So, and quite frankly, the funding through the grant, those are like time and resources. Like when you come in to work at the village and you're spending time on grant writing or facilitating time and energy into an area that somebody has essentially lobbied you to focus on, that donation is like lobbying. Like you're like saying, hey, pay attention to this because I have some future goals here. So now they've lobbied to get attention into that area. And I'm not saying that attention shouldn't be given to that area, but it's just concerning. And it's like right before this on the video of this meeting, they were talking about how critically they are behind on road maintenance, which is one of the things that can be allocated out. And like, we've been doing roads for a long time. It's 2025. We have the ability to know the lifespan of these roadways. So it's not like a water main break that just happened as a fluke. It's timed maintenance of these roadways that have been falling to the wayside because of things like this, like lobbying to where we're gonna dictate on where your village officials spend their time and energy. It hits close to home for me because, you know, tied together with the story I mentioned, I shared earlier, with now I'm seeing people outcrying for, like, having outcries for sidewalks, roadways coming up on the end of life. And then the further you get behind the eight ball, the more you're going to be moving money around that's going to be taken away from the $12 million we owe to the pension for the police fund. It's going to be taken away from keeping the police safe, keeping the public works, you know, safe, because that's a dangerous job too. You got confined spaces with that, and just keeping those services operating. These are basic fundamental services. And it seems like every other week there's some sort of fancy footwork of some public-private partnership or donation here, donation there. It's a lot of moving pieces, and I like to boil it down to the first principles. Like, why does a municipality exist in the first place? It's not to, you know, they have all these levers, and they should be cared for and used respectfully instead of getting lobbied to pay attention to an area that doesn't affect you personally at home. So let me find this, the rest of the meeting, and the phone and text is open. So if you hear something in the meeting and you'd like to hop in and say something, feel free to do so. And then once again, this is the discussion on fiscal year 26 through 23 budget workshop.
CECOM is the backup to both NIRCOM and the Sheriff's Office. So if one of those centers went down, they could house their telecommunicators at CECOM.
All right, the home stretch, I swear. CIP summary across all funds. So this is a similar table, sometimes scary table, thank you, Trustee McAlpine, that you see every year with the CIP. And as I noted at the very beginning, these plans are meant to show pretty much every option that's out there for the public and the board to consider. So when you see these very large numbers, we're not meant or expected to be able to handle all $65 million of improvements you see here in this five-year plan that we presented today, on top of the $43 million nearly of not program projects that we listed just as options. It's meant entirely to show you what's out there, identify opportunities, and then help the board and staff and the village as a whole guide us towards what our priorities are to formulate a plan that will meet our budget for the next fiscal year and beyond. So here you'll see in the first row are the capital projects funds. So throughout the presentation, you've seen that we've labeled a lot of these projects in different funds or categories. So that is a separate fund that we currently have within our budget. It currently, the only funding source for that fund is our shares of the municipal cannabis revenue. Otherwise, it's been funded through transfers or one-time infusions of cash, whether it be through building fund contributions from development or the past, TIF 3 is the Central Carry TIF that was recently enacted, and these are just the projects that we listed here tonight. Director Simmons has outlined in past presentations an overall TIF budget that shows other projects, not necessarily capital related, but that also benefit the overall development and improvement of that district. So just keep in mind that these aren't all the expenses. Vehicle and Equipment Fund. This was originally funded, and the funds that we have in our balance were sourced by the impact fees from the gravel mining over at the Meyer Materials site west of the Fox Trails development. So currently there is not a funding source for that aside from the current balance we have and then the residuals from the leasing program that we mentioned that have oftentimes been actually putting back and supporting the leases that we have going out. Motor fuel tax, we've talked about already, and obviously, as we mentioned and you saw in those slides, the anticipated five-year revenue is definitely far shorter than the five-year demand just to do the projects as proposed, let alone bring our roadway network to meet our goals to get that payment condition index higher. Water and sanitation funds are, it's an enterprise fund, so that is fully funded by the water and sewer utility bills that all the customers pay. So that those projects are funded and funded appropriately according to the rate plan and the capital plan that's associated with that study. Commuter parking, we mentioned there is about $90,000 per year revenue currently coming in from the reduced ridership that we have, but hopefully, like the mayor mentioned, it hopefully will come back over time. But with the recent construction of the new station and the recent resurfacing of all the parking lots that we completed over the last couple years, there aren't a lot of big ticket maintenance items in the horizon. So that, while concerning, we don't have a full revenue we used to, we're holding steady, I would say, for the time being in the near term. And then the Land Conservancy Fund, that was does not have a revenue source, but that was funded entirely by the impact fees from the gravel mining. And those are used to maintain Carry Lake at Rotary Park and any improvements that we choose to implement there. So as I mentioned, summary, those are the three funds that we think
So just to jump in, he mentioned something. I like to provide context where I can. A TIF district, it's a tax increment financing district. And what that does is it can be a zone drawn out by the municipality. And we've had three or four of them in the recent years. And it's kind of an invasive process. What it is it's they draw an area. It's to attract building and attract different developers into the area. But what happens with a TIF is when that zone is drawn, it freezes all the tax revenue in that area, and then as like new stuff is built, that revenue, that tax money, goes into a separate little separate account. So that directly affects schools. So like if you say you bring in 400 apartments and you're already having a strain on the school district, you have 400 apartments come in, you got families, now you have a strain on the school district. Now instead of them directly seeing the correlation of that come in with the increased tax revenue, they don't, because all that money is in a separate account. And unless there's a separate agreement set up, but that's most of the time, that's what it is. And it's commonly known to be like the last resort. And we've seen three or four of them put on the books and taken off the books like candy at will, essentially, over the last 5 years, if not more. So it should be done with care, especially, I mean, I went through District 26, I went through School District 155. I want nothing more than to take care of these folks and to make sure, at the very least, to make sure we're playing nice in the sandbox. Like the Maplewood project, that was, the school district was in so much confusion from the village and not having a clear direction of will they, won't they approve this, over 13 years that Maplewood sat vacant because of different deals that fell through or developers coming in and seeing like, yeah, that's a mess, I'm getting out of here, I'm going to the next town. This is what happens when we don't play nice in the sandbox, especially of all things like your school district, which is already having, people are losing confidence in local school districts, which is something that we have to claw back on, to where, you know, I want to claw back at that to make school districts to where a family that wants to homeschool, which I completely support, I want to make it to where our school district is a strong, safe, and welcoming, to where you have people that are, again, considering it or not regretting it. And that takes leadership and takes playing nice in the sandbox with these agencies. And when you freeze those assets and then just literally play Monopoly with where you like, we're going to take this property from you, but we're going to build you a school bus lot right next to Aldi. And then you further piss off Aldi, because Aldi doesn't want a school bus lot. They want retail, or they want retail that costs $50,000 to get out of the contract of Aldi to put the bus lot next to it. So what they did was the Village of Cary bought that land for $5.5 million, Maplewood property, and then they said, we're gonna move you over to the next to Aldi. And then Aldi's like, whoa, that's not in, like, our contract says, you know, when we built out for their land agreement, that next to us is going to be not just school buses sitting, because you're essentially landlocking all that land up the railroad tracks to where it's going to affect Aldi's investment, like their outlook on that property. So that cost $50,000 to get out of that. So they went back to the drawing board and did $25,000 between the two it's just a lot of, it's very invasive for a village to be doing that many land deals, and you just hope everything is it goes back to the public-private partnership. Like you're crafting it, and you're not, instead of just defaulting to a TIF district, why don't you work on the morale and the atmosphere of not just downtown, but your entire community, and make people live inspired to where when somebody comes in with that realtor, they're like, oh my gosh, Cary. And that's a whole nother thing with us having 1,000 apartments on the books getting ready to be built. Yeah, you have 1,000 apartments getting ready to be built, and everything was kind of lined up to where you have, New Haven Road. It's currently New Haven Drive, but it's going to be New Haven Road because that goes all the way to 31. There'll be 400 apartments there. There'll be some apartments across from the municipal center. Hopefully soon to be Village Hall. And then you have 300-400 apartments by Maplewood. And then you have all these second phases of these projects, like off of 31, there's plenty of land to do more. And now you see why that Rotary Park, instead of just being like, hey, as a village. So that used to be a quarry, and that quarry had a land deal to where when they were done having fun with getting everything they needed out of it, they were going to gift it to the Village of Cary. And instead of having the leadership and the mindset of like, hey, time and resources, instead of getting into having to create TORA 2.0, Three Oaks Recreation Area 2.0, be like, we have an amazing park district. Cary Park District, here you go. You do your thing. Work your magic there. Instead, we wanted our hands in the cookie jar, and now we're creating another park district, essentially. Like, in this presentation, they were talking about, oh, we need to build a shed. We need to buy a gator, which is like an all-terrain vehicle for maintenance. Not, your tax dollars are going to make another park district just so they can play TORA 2.0 and set up. And that's why the water tower deal exists, which is going to raise all your water bills. So now you're putting a strain on everybody that just essentially just wants to, they don't want higher water bills. To have this project, now you're raising the wastewater and the fresh drinking water prices to facilitate that project. It's time and resources. So yeah, the TIF district he mentioned is a thing, and it freezes up assets. And a lot of municipalities view it as a last resort. We've had 4 of them. One thing I want to look into is when I've heard stories about this, and I was always like, well, why didn't they do it? And it was the Holiday Inn. We used to own the land of Holiday Inn. According to my recollection, we used to own, the Village of Cary used to own the land of Holiday Inn. And all the way to Walmart. And we used to actually have on the books Hobnob, the Baquin Center, that burned down. That got annexed by the Village of Crystal Lake. The Holiday Inn got annexed by the Village of Crystal Lake. And the Walmart got annexed by the Village of Crystal Lake. So when I was younger, I was like, oh, why didn't they do that? That'd be awesome to be going to calls on all that stuff. And then as I got older, I was like, more money, more problems. Maybe they had the forethought of like, well, we don't want a hotel in our district because you get a whole bunch of fun stuff when you have a hotel in your area that you really don't want your police, fire, or your community dealing with. And I was like, okay, these people have a vision. And then all that kind of just fell apart when I kind of started poking around, and I was like, okay, there was no vision here. There was no like grand plan to do the right thing for the resident of Cary. And I shouldn't say that overall. There are things done with everything can be said that it's in the, I always play devil's advocate. I'm like, okay, Randy, why are they, well, we're doing all this expansion and stuff for tax revenue to make the life better of our residents to. And that comes back to the question of why, like why the growth? Is it just, and it comes down to big bank, to investment, and it's a whole the decision making and the resources that are allocated are not in line with the street that's out in front of your house. And those problems just get worse over time. And the way that all these things are kind of set up all at once, all these different apartment deals, literally, you're going to have your whole community. And I'm all for, I want to bring in more people. I want a single family houses. I'm not necessarily thrilled about the baseball field being gone. And we'll see. Maybe the ink's still not dry on that deal. But if it's done with not the best interest of the resident that's already there, that has been there, and we haven't pulled the audience, like going back to the Regis Philbin who wants to be a millionaire day, just pull your audience. There's so many issues here that directly affect the entire vibe of Cary, for lack of a better word to describe it, the entire persona of Cary that has all lined up on the runway, getting ready to get the clearance from air traffic control to all take off, and they're all staged. And some of the timing there is of interest. I had these hopes of like, and I'm actually, you know, I really don't want to be here doing this. I want to be with my family, which is why I opened a business in the first place. I'm not a politician. I can play, you're going to see, I can hang, but I just don't, I enjoy public service, which this is. And that's why I'm in this arena now, is because I started off with firefighting, and this is no different to me. This is no different to me than going to a call at 2 a.m. It's just across the street. Let's watch the rest of the, I'll stop talking. Let's watch the rest of the, meeting here.
We've discussed pretty thoroughly tonight that are important to funding a lot of these proposed improvements, but we don't have, sustainable funding sources for at this time. Which leads to the next slide. So that 5-year summary you saw was about $65 million of projects if the village were to try and implement all of them. As I mentioned, those were, it's a wish list, so we don't expect to implement them all, but if we tried to, that would be the total amount. and the projected five-year funding from our current sources is about $38 million, which leads to, obviously, the next step in the process, prioritizing and getting guidance and direction on which projects we want to move forward with at our next budget meeting. That being said,
that's where the attention
there are a couple potential revenue sources for non-home rural communities like Cary. The first of which is the ability that the state legislature has given to non-home rural communities is to implement their own non-home rural general sales tax of up to 1%. And,
I'm glad he brought this up because I was against home rule for a whole bunch of reasons. And I'm not saying home rule isn't a useful tool, but home rule was it's set up in the state statute to where if you have a certain amount of population in your municipality, you have certain home rule powers, which give you more levers as a government. It gives you more ability to tax. And when you have like a tourism district with a whole bunch of hotels and people coming in and out, it's a useful tool to maybe hit those hotels with a resort or a special like hotel tax or something to kind of it's that can be useful. You know, you have people there. You have people there on holiday to be able to facilitate that entire area when you have a tourism district and to make it better and have that money go into making it better to keep that attraction going, that area going, that can be useful if it's not too invasive and it's not like, you know, $60 more on your hotel night. It's like, you know, $4 or something. That's where I see this being useful. The reason why I was against home rule and still am is because when you give more levers to a government that thinks they are the government and they've never been challenged, they've never been like it's on thermal runaway because nobody's ever said, hey, that's not right. You don't want that machine to have more levers. And that's why I was against home rule. And when you see the numbers of how many people were against home rule in this area, it's mind-boggling. Like it was like 90-some percent of voters said no to home rule. And they get it. And they get it. It wasn't just about more taxes. It was about they got it. It's like, we've seen you with the levers you have. No more toys. And even if I get in there, I'm like, I still have the same mindset. We don't need more toys. We don't need more levers. And when you have that mandate from voters, that mandate should tell you with the sound-minded thinking of somebody that respects the position and the public purse of what they're doing, they should be like, well, that's a mandate. 90% of voters said no. I get it. We're not going to do it. We'll focus our attention elsewhere on where these voters want the attention to be. That's not what happened. Now they're spending time and resources to find out how to go around the home rule laws or bring in more people to get that certain population. So it's just like an us versus them mentality of like an ever growing entity that needs to get checked. And that's what I'm doing here. I want to bring in some thoughtful, caring thinking to where you're present. And you can even make it fun. You can even make it to where I think a lot of voters would love a referendum on some of these things. Could you imagine if a referendum went up to, hey, do you want baseball fields or do you want 400 apartments? How do you think that would turn out? And they know that. That's why you don't get a referendum for that. I want to bring a referendum for that and a whole bunch of other things. If you have that resource, use it. hey, do you want license plate cameras on 14 that are paid for handsomely out of our budget? Or do you want license plate cameras positioned at the entrances to our schools? So that if a car comes in and it has no relation to any child there and it's not registered with the teachers or the people, the students and their registered car, the license plates, goes to a cop's phone that's on duty, says, hey, car from Indiana just pulled into Three Oaks School. That has no business being there. And then they start making their way over. Instead of just playing big data and just going along to get along, everybody else is doing it. And, you know, we'll have you pay for it and we'll monitor how often you leave and come. And then who knows of how we're going to use that in the future. Pull the audience. Let's use some referendums and make it fun.
The other option that we have available to us would be to be able to maintain what we currently receive as a 1% grocery tax. That, as you may be aware from past discussions, the state of Illinois will be ending the grocery tax beginning January 1st of 2026. Now, the current grocery tax did not fund the state. It was a pass-through of the 1% sales to each community. So once that ends, we would be looking at, and this is a harder number to calculate based on the way the state does the reporting, but we're estimating it could be about a $400,000 loss in revenue if we were to lose that grocery tax. So one item for future discussion for the Village Board would be to consider if the Village wants to pursue our own local grocery tax to replace the one that would be ending on the 1st of January, 2026.
No, scale down.
And also for separate discussion, based on previous committee meetings we've had, there is also the possibility to implement our own home rule sales tax, and that would vary, but could possibly generate approximately an additional $700,000 annually for the Village, which could be applied to things like capital improvements for that we saw today. So with that, open to hearing any comments from the board in terms of other priorities that we haven't already discussed that you would like us to make sure are in our proposed fiscal year 25-26 budget. And if not, we're also open to hearing your feedback between now and our next budget workshop on March 15th.
Before we comment, is there anybody else here who would like to talk about any of these funds, any of these projects, anything else that's going on? Now is your opportunity.
Chris Rieke, 446 Lloyd Street. Now, is there any way that we can go through, the public can go through and look at these slides?
Or no, it'll be on the website.
The meeting on the video and look at them.
You look at, because everything that we see here, you'll see on the video, but we can have it put on the website.
Yes, we every year we do put the CIP slides on our website, and we will share that as well.
Okay. Basically, I'm interested in the streets, the street thing. And as far as with the stickers that you buy to register, whether it be dump trucks, cars, trucks, trailers, does any of that come back to the cities?
We don't charge vehicle stickers.
So that all goes to the state? Yeah.
Oh, there's license plate stickers? Yeah, that goes straight to the state.
Okay. I think that was it. And as far as the train bridge in Barrington, they do, you can go on a website and it will show you mm-hmm. a video.
Of what it's going to look like, yeah. It's,
when it's all done.
It's quite impressive, isn't it?
It's a heck of a project, though.
It is. It's been a long time coming, but it'll really help our region because that's a main thoroughfare that people use to get up here. I consider Cary the entryway to McHenry County, so it's everything we can do to keep us going.
They've got to build two bridges for that, so it's quite a project.
I can't remember what it was, but we've always been supportive of that project. Anybody else have any comments?
I just have a couple. With the proposed developments that we're bringing to town and the ones that are currently in process, what is the expected total number of residents in Cary? Have we done projections? How close are we to home rule?
We will never get to home rule.
Never.
Okay. I shouldn't say that. I'm going to be completely transparent. To be home rule, you have to have 25,000 residents.
Okay.
Period. Anything over, if you're a home rule community and the next census brings you down to 24.8, you lose home rule status.
So have we, with the calculation, where are we currently and where will we be if everything happens?
We're under 18 right now. O'Brien's got some figures.
With contemplated projects that are in town, you might be less than 20 still.
Okay. I have many questions and comments, but why do we own a park as a village, and why doesn't the park district run a park?
Are you talking about Cary Lake?
I'm talking about Cary Lake, Rotary Park,
whatever
we're calling it right now. I've heard several different versions. It seems like a park district should be running a park and using all the resources that they have to maintain it. Mm-hmm. What is the advantage of owning a park as a village?
It's a continued amenity for the community. We offered it to the park district when this was all going down with Meyer Material. They did not have any interest in it. They're land rich. They weren't looking for any additional property. We also offered it to McHenry County Conservation District. They also are land rich. They weren't looking for anything. So we decided, once it's up and running, it's really not going to be that expensive to run. It's really on how we choose what amenities we want to put out there. Once it's paved, we can, inch that, get that checked off the box. Any other things, we've got private partnerships going right now with the kayak rentals, looking for other opportunities out there too that could reduce the cost. If you look at in Crystal Lake, they have the same situation. They have the Three Oaks Park. I would never in a million years subscribe to what they're going on over there. They lose money there every year, and it's an overhead nightmare. So what we have right now is affordable for us, and it gives people, an opportunity for open space. We hear this all the time. We're able to host new events there. We see over and over and over again that people want more events in town. So that's going to be a prime opportunity for expansion. Again, for if we're going to do a entertainment commission, events and entertainment, whatever we're going to call it, that gives them more things to program events for. Bringing more people into town is what we want.
Okay. Since I'm up here, I might as well bring up my other questions. Alfresco Alley, mm-hmm. The shade structure sounds great. Sounds better than a tent paid for by a restaurant mm-hmm. that also then excluded people from the outside going into that restaurant, even though it was not set up that way. So it sounds great. And EV charging, I'm just curious if we've gone down all the rabbit holes for all the rebates, because right now there's a ton of rebates for installing chargers.
Yeah, that's
that we don't know will be there in 4 or 5 years.
Everything's on pause right now. There's really nothing available right now.
With the state of Illinois?
Well, that's because that's federally funded.
Okay. That's all I got?
Really? Okay.
Well, I got
off easy. Thank you very much for your attention. Is there anybody else who would like to add a comment? I just want to thank staff or trustees have any comments?
I would just say thank you to the staff, to everyone. What a great job. It's a lot of work, a big lift, but you did a great job with it. And certainly I wish that I feel like I've got champagne taste on a generic beer budget, It's just I wish we had all the money to do everything. That wasn't an issue, but, we're tasked with then identifying and moving forward. But you guys did a great job with everything. So thank you for all your hard work with this.
Thank you. Christy, do you have one more? I'll give you one more opportunity.
Okay. With the grinding the sidewalks, that does work because a lot of the sidewalks, instead of replacing them, just grinding the top off, that does work. And some of the streets, if you just make a, they did it on this, on Lloyd Street, where you just make a 3-foot grind along the curb line and repave that. That's perfect for the street, and that works mm-hmm. on some of the streets, or just different patches. So, and that does work versus repaving the whole street. So, and that's it.
Thank you, Chris. All right, any other comments from the trustees? Thank you very much, staff. Outstanding job. It's nice having Kaylin up here, the big boys.
I did have one quick comment. We don't often get a lot of interaction from the public. Yeah. Last couple meetings, we've had some good interaction from the public. I would encourage the gentleman over there who has other things that he'd want to mention to please share those with Eric, with Brian, with the mayor, with the board. Because the best way for us to figure out how to spend your money is to hear from you. And if we don't, then we make decisions in a vacuum. So I'd encourage you to please provide us your thoughts.
Right. I'll echo that. That's one of my closing things. It's important that we have the community's feedback. You know, time and time again, we ask for people. We send out surveys. You know, we get minimal participation. We need to know. We want to know. It's, you know, these are, as you can see, these are big, somewhat heated discussions. There are, you know, we're looking at ways so we can work together collaboratively to get these things done. Like I keep saying, I keep hearing it more and more. We're not the enemy. We're your neighbors. We live and breathe the same area you guys. We drive on the same road. We're just trying to make our community better by working together. And there's no reason for the outbursts, the derogatory comments. We're better than that. We are much better than that. And, you know, I consider ourselves extremely lucky right now. The Village of Cary is on the map. People are paying attention to what we're doing. The developer that's considering Maplewood, that's a $100 million investment in our community. The one that's out on Route 31, that's another over $100 million investment in our community that's going to help us with our tax base. It's more people using our restaurants, our services, shopping at our stores, and then paying into what we do. So getting your feedback for what our, you know, we do this once a year. This is always a very stressful time for all of us because it's, you know, we ask our staff to get, let's look at the big picture. What do we need? How are we going to get there? You know, obviously, we're not going to chew off $65 million in the next 5 years. It's just not right. But let's look at the projects that we've identified and chip away at those, continuously making the Village of Cary a great place to live and work and play that you're all proud of. We're making ends meet here, and we will continue to do this. We will never pass an unbalanced budget. We will just stick to the monies that we have, and staff knows that. That's a mandate from our board to our staff. So this is why it's really important that we get the community to come forth and say, look, I'd like to see this, or, you know, have you thought about that? Great things come from collaboration. We've learned that by working regionally, and it's a really good opportunity for you to stay involved in our community. So thank you for coming in. We appreciate having you here with us. I apologize on behalf of the outburst that was there. We typically don't have that type of situation, and you know, it kind of caught me off guard, and I apologize if I didn't nip in the bud, Chief. Thank you for handling it for him. It's the first time in 12 years I've had to have somebody escorted out of the building, but it happens. And I don't want to subject our residents to behavior like that. You know, we all work together. We've got a great board that likes, we don't all agree on everything all the time, but at the our bottom line is to move this village forward. So anything else? Okay. Without any other discussion, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So the mayor was speaking about that outburst. There was a gentleman that was had some passionate responses for the sidewalks where a child was struck by a school bus There was there's currently no sidewalks in the Hilltop subdivision, and he just had some emotions there. I do agree. Being to move the needle forward, you have to be respectful and to be tactful with your wording, and but you also have to be present. You have to be and passion is not the enemy here. Like, you should have passion for this. For your community and where it's going. The biggest thing, my biggest takeaway from this budget workshop was them and they had an outcry. And like he said, it's actually, I don't view anybody as the enemy. It's like I said, it's the machine and the human condition of money. And the reason why growth is a thing comes back to banking, investments, public-private partnerships. It's all time and resources that are given attention to that should be allocated to basic services. And you know, if left unchecked, like you see it at a federal level, like if this is left unchecked, like you can get into some hard times pretty quick if you're still playing and you're still playing like how you've always played, and you never go back to the drawing board and just take a look at, okay, did we kind of get away with you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses, with the park, are we staying in line with what the community wants and needs? With they were talking about how a lot of their roadways are coming up for end of life, and then you hear that, and it's about 2 minutes on roadways, and then it's about now we're talking about buying an ATV for taking care of a park. We all want Cary to be nice. We all want Cary to be beautiful, but you just have like prioritize. And when you get rid of all the other ventures, or not all, but when you reprioritize, rather than growing just for the sake of making a select few people happy, with the ultimate goal of having more resources, and you actually just listen to the people of what they want, a lot of your problems go away. Like my chief told me, that hired me, said, if you have somebody that's trapped, you know, let's have an effort to try to get them, but let's also not forget to put the fire out, because when you put the fire out, your problems go away. So when we do that, and when we get in there, and say, okay, we've gone about the last 10 miles have been in the wrong direction, and we come back to that T intersection, and we say, where did we go wrong? When did we start kind of growing in places that we shouldn't be? Because now our roadways are getting affected, our police cars are leased, which means that you can't do things to them to make the officer safer. You have other issues with pension, the $12 million of unfunded pension for the police. You have water quality issues. You still have lead pipes in your community, and you're spending time and resources on other things that don't necessarily need to be spent time on. And when you put that fire out and you go back to that T intersection, a lot of your problems go away. You spend less money on legal, you spend less money on administration, because you have focused, hyper-focused time and resources going into the street that is outside your window right now. and to the services that you signed on to. Like the Village of Cary should not be a homeowners association that invasive. And we all know how homeowners associations can be. It's essentially, we need to just get back to the basics and go back to services instead of trying to craft and play the invisible hand. And that's going to take more than just me sitting in a warehouse speaking with you. It's going to take you getting involved and speaking with your neighbor. It's going to take you being present with some of these issues for the time being. And then, good things happen when we start talking. And like the mayor said, you know, we have disagreements with how time and energy is spent. And he said that they even have disagreements within the board. But disagreements are good. Like, you have to have friction to move forward. And, you know, respectful friction to move the needle forward. And we just have to get back to that intersection to where we started to go astray and started playing with toys and levers in ways that they weren't designed to be played with of government. So that was the end of the budget workshop. And it's coming up on 10:35. I appreciate you joining me for this Voices Cary. Let me go through the chats here. No new chats, but you can always leave a voicemail at that phone number that's in the description, and then we can talk about it. If there's anything you'd like for me to pay attention to, it has been kind of interesting. As April gets closer, I get reached out to in many different ways of things that I already know about. And it seems like people want me to pay attention to certain things that are not ultimately important, that might have been issues in the past, and done very, the theater and production value was very good. But I know of these issues. Don't be hesitant to reach out to me, but it is interesting. I have been reached out to with some issues that are not, that may be like, look at the left hand while we do stuff with the right hand. And I'm not saying that's coming from folks there. It's just interesting. And like I said, it's a world of politics and I'm navigating it. To where I can just put the fire out just on the other side of the street. And I appreciate your time today, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 9 o'clock for more text and call in. We broadcast live every day at 9 o'clock now. It's a set time, so you can always reach out to me by email at voicescary@proton.me. That's voicescary@proton.me. And I enjoy, thank you for joining me. I enjoy putting this together for you. And let's voice up. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.
You're confirmed at T-minus 10 seconds.
In counting, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Reach for the sky.
Huh?
This town ain't big enough for the two of us.
What?
Somebody's poisoned the water hole.
It's busted.
Who are you calling busted, Buster? That's right. I'm talking to you, Sid Phillips. We don't like being blown up, Sid. Or smashed, or ripped apart.
We?
That's right. Your toys.
Woo! so play nice.